Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for this brief series on the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. And this is part one. Let's pray. Gracious God, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth. Would you make us hungry for this heavenly food, that it may nourish us today in the ways of eternal life, through Jesus Christ, who is the bread of heaven. Amen. In dealing with this series, we're going to be reading from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 to 11, and I'm reading from the NIV. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. May God bless his word to us today and always. As we begin this short series on Jesus in the desert and the three temptations he endured, it is interesting to note that it is the Spirit who leads Jesus into the desert to be tempted by the devil. In Luke chapter 4, it says Jesus is full of the Holy Spirit and then is led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, and in the wilderness there he faces temptation or testing. In Mark chapter 1 verse 12, we find there is more forceful language being used, stating that the Spirit of God drove Jesus out into the wilderness. Thus, the whole exercise was arranged by the Holy Spirit, and Satan functioned then, and does so now, strictly within the limits and boundaries set by God. To be sure, he is an opportunist, but God always has, and always will, set certain limits and boundaries within which he can move. And whenever Satan is ever allowed close to God's children, it is for the purpose of testing us, revealing the true content of our character, the true depth of our commitment, not so that God can know, but for us to come to terms with ourselves, also so that we can understand, under the guidance and power of the Holy Spirit, what it is that God truly calls us to, and how we will be required to respond to that. Now, from the perspective of this temptation narrative, these occur only in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Mark chapter 1 verse 12 to 13 is the shortest and provides the least information. Matthew chapter 4 verse 1 to 11 and Luke chapter 4 verse 1 to 13 are more comprehensive, with a different ordering of the second and third temptation. In part 1, I would like to make a few observations as well as to consider a number of important questions with respect to this whole event. Firstly, how is it possible that Jesus could be tempted in the first place? In what respect could Jesus Christ, the perfect sinless man, the Son of God, have been tempted by the devil? Obviously, the accounts we are dealing with clearly say he was tempted. In addition, other passages from the New Testament letters confirm this as a fundamental principle in the teaching and faith of the Church. For example, Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sin." On the other hand, temptation in human beings without the inward correspondence of existent sin is difficult to comprehend, for James 1 verse 14 says, "But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire, a desire which comes from past experience." Also, temptation without the possibility of sin seems unreal, a kind of docetism, which essentially viewed God as pretending to be human. The most helpful way of understanding how Jesus could be tempted is to understand that the human part of who Jesus was more like the first Adam, who was capable of not sinning, as opposed to being incapable of sinning. So the second question we might want to ask is, what was at stake in the temptations that Jesus endured? Put differently, what did God the Father want to establish in Jesus, if anything at all? First, we need to be clear that the temptations that Jesus endured were not for him to prove his divine sonship to himself. This is not an issue in the New Testament, neither is it implied. Besides, just before Jesus is led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit in Matthew 3 verse 16 to 17, he is baptized by John, and immediately after that, the Spirit descended on him in the form of a dove, and God spoke, saying, "This is my Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased." What really seems to be at stake here is whether Jesus would respond to the Father's call to be a servant Messiah, or to interpret Messiahship in the traditional terms of power, strength, and conquest, the kind of Messiah most people seem to believe would rescue the Jewish nation from the grip of the Romans. The outcome is that Jesus demonstrates his intention to be God's servant Messiah, particularly as spoken of in Isaiah 49 through to chapter 54. This is borne out in Matthew chapter 20, verse 25 to 28, where Jesus called them, his disciples, to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." It would seem then that from our perspective, Jesus' temptation enabled him to personally experience what we go through and so be perfectly prepared to assist us. This thought is borne out in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 16 to 17. Just prior to the passage in question, we are told that he shared in our humanity, and then we read, "For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people." But we also have to know that this text in Hebrews, as well as others speaking in this manner, are there to help us more than it would have helped Jesus or God the Father. If Jesus was God the Son, then we must concede that he was completely clear as to the nature of our human struggles already. So it really helps us so that we cannot say, "You don't know what it feels like." For God immersed himself in our lives in the person of Jesus in every way. The third thing we learn is that Jesus demonstrated to us that we overcome temptation by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God. Every response that he gave to the devil was from Scripture. In Matthew chapter 4 verse 4, Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy 8 verse 3, where he said, "Man does not live by bread alone." In Matthew chapter 4 verse 6 to 7, Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy 6 verse 16, where he said, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And finally, in Matthew chapter 4 verse 10, Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy 6 verse 13, where he said, "Worship the Lord your God and serve him only." So this becomes a matter of trust. Will we cling to God and his word during temptations and difficult moments? Or will we ever be fixing things in our own strength and by the power of our own will? As we draw to a close then, we turn our attention to the first encounter Jesus had with the devil about how to make bread. In Matthew chapter 4 verse 3, the devil said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Perhaps we could frame the conversation this way. If you are the Son of God, then you must be his Messiah. and quite capable of dealing with this hunger you are experiencing. So do it. Go ahead. Command the stone to become bread. For us, the issue is not, could it happen? Of course it could. And we can be certain Jesus must have really been hungry, not having eaten for 40 days. But this temptation had little to do with eating so as to deal with the pain of hunger. It was a temptation to indulge in an exercise of tremendous power that would draw Jesus away from his humanity. Not only that, but to deal with difficulties in this manner would not fit with who Jesus was supposed to be to those he would minister to as a truly human servant. Finally, and most importantly, we see in Jesus' response this truth, that nourishment of the whole person begins in knowing God truly as we respond with faith to his words of life. And so I hope you will join us for part 2. Amen. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus came to serve and to save. Thank you that we have in him an example which assures us that he knows our need and will meet it in ways that help us to follow in his footsteps and be the servant Christians that we ought to be. In his name we pray these things and give you thanks. Amen. And God bless you.